Democrats ended their convention with an hour-long address by President Clinton, who accepted their nomination for a second term. The president's speech touched on many of the same themes set out by other speakers during the four nights in Chicago. NPR's Brian Naylor looks at some of those themes, as well as the promises and claims that were made.
The rhetoric at the Democratic convention is difficult to check for accuracy. As with the Republicans in San Diego, the speeches of Democrats in Chicago were long on platitudes, short on specifics. Who can argue that families are important, that overcoming or coping with disability is admirable, even inspiring? But occasionally, Democrats did get a little carried away, especially when it came to crediting the Clinton administration for all that's gone right in the last 4 years. Take the widely repeated refrain of jobs.
And now it is for you, the people, that President Clinton has created more than 10 million new jobs. 10 million.
10 million new jobs.
10 million new jobs, over half of them high-wage jobs.
There is little disagreement that, yes, there were 10 million new jobs created during the last 4 years. And yes, most were more than hamburger flippers. But where economists draw the line is over who gets the credit. Sungwon Son of Norwest Corporation in Minneapolis says President Clinton deserves credit for good timing, taking office at what turned out to be the end of a recession. If you're singling out anyone to thank for creating jobs, Son says it should be Federal Reserve Board Chairman Alan Greenspan.
Business cycles work its way up. And in the process, Chairman Greenspan kept interest rates very low historically. These are some of the reasons why we've created 10 million new jobs. It's not so much Mr. Clinton, but business cycle and Mr. Greenspan.
Another theme heard time and again during the convention was the importance of families. Speaker after speaker extolled the Clinton administration for caring about kids and for putting families first. Chelsea Clinton was cited frequently by her mother Hillary, and Vice President Gore's family played a prominent supporting role.
By shepherding, guiding and protecting our children's souls, we build a better America. The American spirit lives within that child. The child grows up to believe in it, to add new vision to it.
But to many, President Clinton betrayed millions of children by signing the welfare reform bill last week. Debbie Weinstein of the Children's Defense Fund estimates some 8 million families with children will suffer because of that action.
Any law that will make more than one-fifth of all families with children in this country more poor cannot be a family-friendly piece of legislation. The president didn't have to sign this, but he did.
And while there was some criticism of the president's signing of welfare reform during the convention, it was kept off prime time. Hillary Rodham Clinton did get a prime time speech, and in it she returned to the field of health care, 2 years after the plan she helped draft was rejected by Congress. This time, Mrs. Clinton called for another incremental expansion of health insurance coverage.
Now the country must take the next step of helping unemployed Americans and their children keep health insurance for 6 months after losing their jobs.
That may well be a worthy goal, but one unlikely to be reached in the near future. It will be expensive, and Paul Fronston of the Employee Benefit Research Institute says shoring up the Medicare Trust Fund, projected to go broke soon, is likely to take precedence.
There's always going to be an interest in reducing the number of uninsured people, whether those people are temporarily unemployed, permanently unemployed, whether they're children, or whether they have jobs. But the political reality is that next year's priority is most likely going to be Medicare.
There is another issue President Clinton took credit for last night, for which credit wasn't entirely his to take.
We have also passed political reform, the line item veto, the motor voter bill, tougher registration laws for lobbyists, making Congress live under the laws they impose on the private sector, stopping unfunded mandates to state and local government.
The president didn't mention it, but those accomplishments, all but the motor voter law, were part of the House Republicans' contract with America. Sure, he signed them, but they were really Republican initiatives. And one more thing.
Will you help me get campaign finance reform in the next 4 years?
We've heard that one before. The president and Speaker Newt Gingrich shook hands on it over a year ago. And maybe, yes, the lion's share of the blame for failing to get a campaign finance bill belongs to the Republican Congress, but Mr. Clinton hasn't put much muscle behind his rhetoric. And while he waits for reform, he's been raking in record amounts of campaign cash for Democratic Party coffers. One promise the president made last night that we'll soon be able to measure, that this will be a campaign of ideas, not of insults. Voters can judge that promise between now and November 5th. This is Brian Naylor in Washington.